activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast. Brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The power of my junk. Wait, what?
Oh, no!
Interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object battling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This Earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Thursday, June 20th, 2013. Welcome to another Galactic Netcast. In this episode, it's all about aliens because it is the alien invasion number 73 from Waterloo, Iowa. I'm Dave Squirtle Nelson. Is that how you say it, Anessa? Squirtle?
Yes.
Okay. Also here from Wausau, Wisconsin is Brad Pikachu Ludwig and Anessa Jigglypuff Moyens from Denton, Texas.
Jigglypuff.
Oh, okay. Jigglypuff.
There you go.
What are what are these things?
Pokemon.
Oh, I know nothing about Pokemon.
That's okay. Not required.
It's kind of like My Pretty Pony or whatever, right?
My Little Pony.
My Little Pony?
Yes, your Pretty Pony. You are a pretty pony, Dave Nelson.
Pretty Pony.
Oh, stop it.
I want to brush and comb your hair, Pretty Pony, Dave Nelson.
Okay, let's stop this now.
My Little Pony Apocalypse.
I've actually seen a few of those episodes. I was just exaggerating. I
just wanted to hit you with creepy guy voice so you know what it felt like when you do your creepy guy voice.
You mean like this?
Like that.
Hey, you know what? Let's talk about aliens.
We should do a show.
Yeah, it's the show that we talk about aliens. And all their different appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, real life. And if you're a regular listener, you know that we divide the show into three separate and distinct parts. The news, the rundown of the stories of the week related to aliens. Creature feature, that's the spotlight of a certain kind of alien, and our picks for the week. And Brad has a doozy. Do you want to say what it is now so we can keep the listeners hooked, hook them in and then keep them?
It's an alien film that a lot of people have been looking forward to seeing.
Okay. Anessa, have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it Saturday morning.
All right. Cool. If you know what the movies are out right now, you pretty much know what it is.
Or do you?
Yeah. All right. Those are the three sections. And for our audio subscribers, if you'd like to see us record the show live, actually see us with your eyeballs, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+, and we'll let you know when and where that's going to be. GalacticNetcasts.com/live is the live page. You can also watch it afterwards at YouTube.com/GalacticNetcasts. You folks ready to go?
Maybe.
Brad, you seem hesitant.
Okay, I'm ready now.
Okay.
In the news.
And Brad, you have the first story, sir.
We have some weird stories that prove that extraterrestrials love Russia. So io9.com put together a collection of incidents from the former Soviet Union that make it seem like the country is like the hotbed of alien action. There's the Tunguska event from 1908. A Russian scientist, Dr. Yuri Lavbin, claimed that an alien made a suicidal sacrifice to save the Earth from the giant meteorite. He said he found quartz crystals with holes and drawings, but we don't have any technologies that can print such drawings on crystals.
So the Tunguska could have been a lot worse. This alien sacrificed himself to save humankind from a bigger asteroid, possibly.
Well, what the thought is that the large meteorite that would be, because meteoroid is smaller and doesn't hit. I can never keep those right.
Yeah. So you have a a meteoroid asteroid? So you have an asteroid, a small chunk off of the asteroid would be a meteoroid floating through space. When you see it burning in the atmosphere, it's a meteor, and when it hits the ground, it's a meteorite.
Okay. So this was actually a meteor which exploded above the surface of the Earth. It never actually made contact with the Earth.
Okay.
So I think that's where Dr. Yuri Lavin is saying that an alien saved the planet because the meteorite never touched the Earth and became a meteorite.
So maybe they used their spaceship and some kind of tractor beam to like push it to make it so it wouldn't like actually hit the ground possibly.
Or
yeah, but there was still an explosion though.
There was an explosion.
The trees were leveled and there was water that was found. Well, there was water in the area, and so some people have the theory that it was a comet. A really small comet or debris from a comet.
Well, fine. Be the wet blanket of the group there. Awesome.
I'm sorry. I will be the screen door on your submarine.
You even Debbie Downer, you non-alien believing person, you.
Sorry. Oi, ease off the girlfriend there, Mr. Man.
Sorry.
Be firing up the Queensbury rules to defend her honor.
I don't want to fight.
Can't we just all get along?
You're a lover, not a fighter, Dave.
Yeah,
Nelson.
Exactly. So what's next on the list?
The good doctor was saying we've also found ferrium silicate that cannot be produced anywhere except in space.
Dun, dun, dun. But of course, if it's a meteorite... Right? Meteorite?
The meteor.
Yes. Meteorite.
Yep.
So the asteroid that...
Yeah.
Okay.
That is also from space, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the meteorite's from space, so it can travel down here.
Did I say ferrium? I meant ferrum silicate. Okay. Sorry. The next incident is the Datilov Pass incident in the northern Ural Mountains, and this happened in February of 1959. There were 9 experienced ski hikers, and they died in a mysterious fashion. So get this. The bodies were found in their badly damaged tents, which had been cut open from the inside. So they were trying to escape something that was inside that must have been either very ferocious or very deadly that had gotten inside the tent. Most of them had fled in socks and bare feet in the temperatures that would are 22 below Fahrenheit.
Jesus.
22 below zero Fahrenheit. 2 hikers had broken ribs, 2 had fractured skulls, and 1 was missing her tongue. 2 pairs of pants and a sweater were found to be highly radioactive, and the corpse's skin had all been tanned a deep brown. So it's like they had gotten cooked.
Wow. This is crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah. And this Ural Pass is a place where only experienced people would go. I'm sorry, not Ural. This area in the Ural Mountains, as I did some further research on this. Unless you knew what the heck you were doing, you didn't go there. There is the Height 611 UFO incident from January 29th, 1986, where a bright ball was seen flying parallel to the ground without any noise and appeared to crash near the mountain Height 611. 3 days later, some ufologists discovered small black rocks containing lead in that area.
No, really? Lead? That's so out of this world.
I know, in mountains? That's so odd.
Quit trying to bring me down, Dave.
Yeah, Debbie Downer.
No, it's David Downer to you.
Oh, sorry.
David Downer.
David Downer. Okay, and this is the most fascinating of all of these. A 3-eyed giant alien with a robot escort. It was in a park in Voronezh. In September 27th of 1989, and this was witnessed by several young children, the alien was said to be about 9 foot tall, and the craft, according to eyewitness testimony, landed on the outskirts of the city. Shortly thereafter, a tall alien appeared, and upon seeing the kids, shot a type of weapon at them, caught at somebody. at him. Causing this person to vanish before the eyes of the other people around him. So these children witnessed some guy get a cosmic cap popped in this guy's ass and he disappeared.
So, okay, before we continue, Brad, that sounds like the plot of The Day the Earth Stood Still. It kind of does. Yeah.
All these kids saw the movie and just kind of... Yeah.
You know, this sounds like to me, it's these kids were just making something up to, like, as an excuse for something else they did. You know how kids are. Or that they like to make tales up.
What was the name of the robot in The Day the Earth Stood Still?
I do not remember, but I do know it had a cool name.
Gort.
Okay.
That's right.
And this last piece here, Prime Minister Medvedev said that aliens are among us. He said in December 7th, 2012, he's quoted as saying, along with a briefcase of nuclear codes, the president of the country is given a special top secret folder. This folder contains information about aliens who visited our planet. Along with this, you are given a report of the absolutely secret special service that exercises control over aliens on the territory of our country, known as the MIB. Just kidding. More detailed information on this topic you can get from a well-known movie called Men in Black. Yes. I will not tell you how many of them are among us because it may cause panic.
Wow.
And the Prime Minister said this to somebody at the Telegraph. So we'll post a link to the actual IO9 article where you can get all the rest of the details. But very interesting stuff. It seems that aliens love to hang out in Russia. If you think about it, that whole landmass is pretty huge.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense if they're going to land somewhere, statistically speaking, you'd land where the most ground cover is for you to actually land your craft. So
and
I guess it kind of makes sense.
And a lot of area of that country is not populated, so you can land your craft without being noticed.
Yep.
Oh, it's no Canada, but it'll do.
Nothing can be Canada, Brad. Nothing. Interesting. So what's you guys' favorite story of all these? I know, Brad, you said the giant alien with the robot escort.
Actually, the incident in the Ural Mountains, the Daylove Pass incident, is really the most fascinating. Well, you know, the Tunguska blast, I think, is probably the most interesting thing because it took them forever to get to that area. I mean, it took them like 2 decades after the incident for somebody to actually really seriously investigate that area.
Wow.
So, of course, you know, a lot of things had kind of grown back and they were able to do some. You know, nowadays, something like that would happen and people would be, you know, Johnny on the spot and just be there. But I don't think we'll ever really fully know what happened there. So I guess that's the most fascinating thing to me.
Can you still tell in that area that happened? Or is all the evidence gone?
A lot of it's gone, and there's a lot of tales of strange beings and mutated people that live in that area.
Really?
And it's hard to tell if it's, you know, just folklore or what, but there are people that have camped in and around that area that either have disappeared or have come back broken because they've ran into something that they can't explain and so horrified them that it just broke their minds.
It would be a fun thing to do a podcast about weird creatures or weird stories around the world, you know? Like your Bigfoots, your abominable snowmans, your what's the creature?
The Yeti.
The Yeti. The
you've got
Chupacabra. Like
Chupacabra.
Yep. And all the other interstitial ones, you know?
Yeah, that would be kind of a fun show.
Maybe do a special one of these days.
I smell special.
All right, so Nessa, what's your favorite story of these?
I kind of like the one about the Ural Mountains. It was just kind of wild as far as radioactive pants. just really bizarre that, you know, you would find these people that are
the radioactive
burned, bats. And then you've got, like, clothing that's radioactive. So, I think for me it would be that one. One, it's one that I've never heard of until now. And, of course, like with Tunguska, it's something that I've heard of just more from the scientific perspective. So I think that might have, like, ruined any sort of extraterrestrial UFO or, like, alien influence on it besides rocks from space. So, yeah, I think the Ural Mountains would be my story that I would pick.
I'm going to also choose that. It just seems there's a lot going on there. And it doesn't seem made up. It seems like this is legitimate things, you know? It's not like over the top crazy.
Right.
You know? Like the story of the three-eyed giant alien with the robot escort sounds crazy.
Witnessed by children. Yeah. Nothing could be made up about that at all.
Yeah.
Nope.
So I think I'm going to go with the the Tunguska, or not the the Ural Mountain.
Yep.
All right, let's move on. Story number two is mine. You guys excited about Riddick, the new the third movie in the Pitch Black trilogy?
I've only ever seen Pitch Black, so I'm not all that excited.
don't see Chronicles of Riddick. It's a terrible movie. The only good part of that whole movie is what's his face that played. Carl Urban. He was
okay.
He was the character Lord Vako in that movie.
Well, I don't know who Lord Vako is because I never saw the second one.
Okay. That freaking guy. He owes me $20.
Vako. Oh, that guy.
Vako.
Rhymes with taco.
I had a taco earlier.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, let me stop you guys before we go down a rabbit hole, okay? We're not.
Why, you're hungry?
No, I'm just saying that this could branch off into something totally not about this story. So.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we were talking about things about the Vin Diesel movie.
Riddick.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the movie is more Pitch Black than Chronicles of Riddick, which is good. That's a good thing, I think. There are two groups of bounty hunters after Riddick, because that's what the story's about. He basically gets dumped on this planet, this desolate planet. And these two groups of bounty hunters are after him the whole time. And there's also kind of, they say, this is from hitfix.com. I guess they went on the set of Riddick and found out all this information. It's more of a Predator-type movie. So it's basically Riddick hunting these people that are hunting him or killing off these people that are trying to hunt him down. The movie is first and foremost for hardcore fans of the series, so you really got to be into the movies. The film's effects will be somewhat less practical than Pitch Black, so I'm guessing a lot of CG going on. I hope it's good CG, because there's bad CG too.
Yes, there is.
Riddick flies solo for a good chunk of the movie, so it's basically just him walking around. All right. Sounds exciting.
Walking.
He's just walking.
Look at me.
Did you guys know that Katie Sackhoff's in this movie?
I did. I've seen her tweets. She tweeted quite a lot about, like, her training and whatnot.
She was in Chronicles of Riddick, though, wasn't she?
I don't think so. To the internet. Let's go.
I don't think she was. I think this is her first time.
Oh, you're
looking. You keep talking. Okay. I'll take a look.
All right. Yep. Okay. Let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. She carries a electrical current gun in this film. Electrical current gun. If you're a fan of these movies, get ready. They're planning two more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe like five of them.
Yeah, that'll be five then. And then Carl Urban's character returns to lay the groundwork for a fourth movie. So he's back. So I hope it does well. You know, I'm pulling for Vin Diesel. I mean, he's basically producing this thing out of his own pockets. I'm sure he got some financial support, but He's producer, director, writer, I believe. It's his joint. So let's cross our fingers. Hopefully Riddick is a success. I don't know when it comes out. Brad, do you have that page up?
Oh, when...
September 6th.
No.
September 6th is when it comes out. So I'm thinking that there's not going to be any big movies going against it that weekend, September 6th.
Probably not, because that's not really a big time for movies to come out.
Yeah.
Or at least big movies to come out.
September 6th.
Because you get, well...
Is that Labor Day weekend, or is the weekend before that Labor Day weekend?
We'll find out. Hang on.
We're all looking on the internet.
Actually, Labor Day weekend would be the weekend before, because it's always like on the 1st or closest to the 1st, and the 1st falls on Sunday.
Okay. All right. So
I would imagine that Labor Day weekend would be the weekend before. So yeah, it's not like a big
okay. So movie. people are back in school.
Big blockbuster.
They're back in their regular schedules again. They're going to the movies maybe.
It might stand a chance. I mean, it's not like it's being released at the time that Man of Steel or, you know, a couple of months ago when Iron Man came out, Iron Man 3.
Yeah, we were talking about...
So it's not really competing against a bunch of big-name blockbusters or expected to be blockbusters.
We were talking about that last night on the Alien Invasion podcast about the movie that we reviewed, that we watched.
Sure.
Was a great movie, but did poorly, did really, really badly because... I think it probably got released on the weekend that another big movie came out, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my
bigger
theory.
Movie.
Yeah, bigger.
So
you got your research there, Brad. You ready to report? Report back.
Here's the dog-like creature that one of the alien predators that Riddick comes up against.
Oh.
And again, you'd have to be watching the video in order to see this, but there's a. A caption here from Universal Pictures, set image, Vin Diesel faces down dog-like alien predator in Riddick. Dun, dun, dun.
So there are aliens in this movie, so it's okay.
It looks like a hyena unicorn in this picture. It really does. A tiger. It's got tiger stripes on it, so they've like crossbred a unicorn with a hyena and a zebra tiger creature.
Okay, so we have a tie for show title so far. It's either
Zebra Hyena Corn.
It's either Radioactive Pants, or what did you just say?
Zebra Hyena Corn.
Zebra, hi what?
Hyena corn.
Corn.
How do you spell hyena?
Very carefully.
Hyena. Hyena.
Okay.
Is there more to it than that?
I don't know. I have no idea. Okay. So it's zebra.
Hyena, yes.
Yay! Okay. I spelled something right for a change.
So zebra, hyena corn, or radioactive pants, we'll vote at the end of the show.
Could combine the two.
Yeah. That's true.
Radioactive
zebra, hyena
zebra,
corn.
Hyena corn pants.
Wearing pants. Wearing radioactive pants. You know, you can always tell how weak the story is when how much we actually don't talk about it. So let's move on. Let's move on. Riddick comes out September. What is it again? September.
September 6th.
It's the 6th because the 6th.
Yes, it's
Friday.
September 6th. I'm looking at the. I'm sorry. There. I'm looking at the IMDb page and. Right there. Boom. September 6th.
Okay.
Left for dead on a sun-scorched planet, Riddick finds himself up against an alien race of predators. Activating an emergency beacon alerts two ships, one carrying a new breed of mercenary, the other captained by a man from Riddick's past.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun.
All right. Looking forward
to
it.
In a world.
In a world. All right, so there you go. Riddick, go watch it this fall. We would love your thoughts on the stories that we've covered so far. Leave us feedback. Anessa, how do people do that?
Magic. Sorry.
Abracadabra. What would be the spell? How would it go?
They can leave us feedback by going to contact.galacticnetcasts.com, emailing galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. They can call our voicemail at 805-328-3966 or leave a comment in the forums at galacticnetcasts.com/community.
Thank you. You do a great job with that.
Did you know that they were going to be re-releasing The Wizard of Oz to theaters September 20th?
No.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to tell Stephanie. She's the biggest fan of that movie.
Oh, dude, I am so going.
And it's what date?
Oh, interesting. So it's a re-release. They're going to be doing a limited one-week IMAX 3D special engagement of the film.
Mm-hmm.
The 3D conversion was a long and complex project, which Warner Brothers blah, 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 blah. It almost looks like they're just, God, I hope they're not just doing, no, they're doing a limited edition 3D IMAX.
Hmm.
So I guess you're only going to see it in an IMAX theater, unfortunately.
Too bad there's no aliens in it.
The flying monkeys, definitely aliens.
Okay. All right. You're probably right. All right, so let's move on to the next final story in the news. And Anessa, that is yours.
Woo! Let's send messages into space because nothing bad could happen.
No, of course not.
A group of scientists and entrepreneurs recently took over the Jamesburg Earth Station radio dish in Carmel, California, and will use the facility to send a continuous hailing message into outer space. Bum, bum, bum.
You know, when they
but if you're feeling left out, you can actually pay to have your own message sent out into space.
Did you see the rates? I didn't include it.
I did see the rates, but I didn't understand how long the messages had to be, because people can actually pay money. Like, they get one free message, and I couldn't quite figure out how long this message is supposed to be. But you can spend a buck and get 4 credits for a longer message. $5 gets you 40 credits, $20 gets you 400 credits, and $100 gets you 4,000 credits if you've got a lot of crap to talk to aliens.
There needs to be some kind of...
And they describe this as being the perfect opportunity for people who don't like their money.
The guy that wrote this story is awesome. Like, he puts a lot of his own thoughts and
opinions.
Oh,
he does. He definitely does. Yeah. But yeah, and he doesn't, he's part of the bandwagon that doesn't believe that this is a good idea. Astrophysicist and science fiction author David Brin points out the larger issue that this group is acting completely unilaterally. No one has given them permission to do this, and they've not talked to anyone else. They're like, okay, we're just going to get together, send out a whole bunch of messages out into space, maybe piss off some aliens, and bring on the apocalypse. But yeah, they go on to say that shouting out into the cosmos is the real issue here. We simply do not know the risks. Experts think we should take greater care when embarking upon projects such as this. Brin suggests this should be part of a much broader conversation and not just some silly exercise intended to make a bit of money. There's also the distinct possibility that these messages will never even reach any UFO, or not UFOs, extraterrestrials. So,
but on the other hand,
on the off chance that we do happen to contact an alien race, let's hope that they're really nice and understanding and don't get pissed off because someone decided to send them a picture of a dong.
So, LOL.
LOL penis.
Space dong.
Wait a second. We have a new...
No, don't put it on the list. So anyways, now that I've injected myself into the conversation and I forgot I had my my screen up here, looks like your first message is free and then you got to pay.
They're like drug dealers.
So like each message would cost a credit. past the first. So like the 99 cents gets you 4 credits. That means you could send a total of 5 messages. Now, if you wanted to send an image-based message, it costs you 3 credits. And that's where I think they're trying to get people. You buy 4 credits, you get an image, it costs 3. So now you've got either an extra credit, or if you want to send another image, then you got to buy more credits. So I think that's kind of the
probably how they're
going for. Yep.
Yeah, they're poor aliens are going to get a whole bunch of LOMO.
We're basically going to spam the galaxy with this thing.
Of course, they're going to want to delete us.
Yeah.
Sons of bitches are spanning space. I don't want to get these messages.
Is there an unsubscribe button? Yes, it's called Destroy the Earth.
Exactly. but that's the other thing here, too, is that you'll be able to echo your message on Facebook and Twitter. So maybe that's how they're trying to weed out the dong pictures.
Maybe. LOL dong. Space dong.
Yeah, no,
I kind of wonder, though, like how long the messages could be, because I haven't really seen, or maybe I overlooked the length that the message could be.
A message is 144 characters.
Oh, okay, so it's like tweeting, except
so
you
it's
get
like
four
tweeting
extra letters.
Into space, yep, exactly.
All right, cool.
who was smoking up when they did that? It's going to be like Twitter? Only it's going to be cooler because you're going to get 4 more characters.
Now, are they going to support
hashtags? Dongs. Huh?
Are they going to support hashtags?
What good are hashtags going to do with...
Well, it's going to actually would make sense because if they're going to echo this on Facebook and Twitter, both allow hashtags now.
Maybe that's why they're including the 4 extra characters, so that way you don't feel like you're losing out on...
Because you're adding a hashtag, space dong. Yeah. Hashtag.
What would be a good hashtag to include in your message? Let's think of one.
I kind of like that.
Hashtag galactic dong. Netcasts?
Yeah. Hashtag don't invade us, bro.
Don't tase me, bro. Don't probe me, bro.
We should really, one of us, or as galactic netcasts, we should send one out. That'd be
Well, we get one free.
Yeah.
Well, I set us up for that with the last thing that somebody pumped out into space for us.
Really?
Sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
Surprise!
That.
Yeah, I told you about that.
Okay.
So Dave Slimson.
So much I don't pay attention.
Well, I get that a lot.
Aww. I'm sorry.
No,
I pay attention to you.
Okay, before we get too mushy, let's move on to our next thing that we got to do, which is talk about Audible.com, our sponsor of this galactic netcast.
Yes!
And you can get a free audiobook today.
Free?
Yes, free. 30 days free. How, what?
How does that work, Dave?
Audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Say you have a long commute. Say you have a trip coming up that you are going to be sitting around a lot. Say you have a airplane flight that you're going to be on. That's one
like
possible.
You're going to Canada. Yeah, that's like, a long flight. Like, I'll be going to Texas.
Yeah.
That's a long flight.
Yeah, so subscribe to Audible and listen to a book while you're traveling across the land or
and
over
I'll
the land.
What was I thinking?
All right, and to go along with the theme of this podcast, may we suggest Spill by J.I. Greco.
Sounds like a private investigator. J.I. Greco.
It does.
Isn't that like the... Isn't Greco the last name of the guy that hosted Cheaters for a while? Tony Greco?
Are you thinking about Richard Greco?
There was Richard Greco who was on 21 Jump Street. He replaced...
No.
Which guy? The guy that went on to big success in movies. Come on, people.
Johnny Depp,
yes.
What?
Anyways, okay.
So
let's talk about this this book. So the brief synopsis is, facing alien retaliation, from orbit because they sent too many annoying messages through space, and a rapidly evolving nanoweapon that will transform Earth. Humanity's last hope of survival resides with a pair of cybernetically enhanced human collaborators who are more interested in looting than saving the world. Any way you look at it, humanity is doomed. So maybe take this book as your free book, Spill, or any one of your choice by getting your free 30-day trial of Audible by going to audibletrial.com. audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. And we thank Audible for their support of the Alien Invasion podcast. All right, let's move on to the creature feature. Hang on.
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
I love Brad. He was like laughing along with it. It was cool. All right. So our creature feature this week, this is the famous aliens in history. And it shows one of the real aliens, the quote-unquote real aliens. I guess they're real if at least one person believes it, right?
Yes.
So this is... What the hell? Is that you?
It's not me.
Oh, no, that's me.
Okay. All right,
I'm going to be doing another show here.
Oh, you got the movie thing tonight.
Yeah. It's supposed to be at 9:30, so I'm not sure I'm getting a call now.
You want to take it? We can pause.
No, it's not a call. It's an actual hangout.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not ditching our show to do that.
You better not.
That's exactly. Yeah. What kind of a jackass would do that?
Like cheating. You're a cheating boyfriend, if that were the case.
What? No.
So anyways, okay, let's
still love you, Dave.
Oh, thanks. That's sweet.
Aww.
Shut up.
Tear.
All right, so the creature feature. Chameleon. It's not just the normal everyday chameleon. These are chameleon aliens. They're called
Karma chameleons?
I was thinking that.
Sure, why not?
Get out of my head.
This is from the website thewatcherfiles.com. TheWatcherFiles.com. So, I love the description of these guys. These aliens are reptilians genetically bred to enable themselves to appear human. Also, less humanoid appearing reptiloids who use a form of technosis, molecular shape-shifting, and or laser holograms to produce an outward human appearance. Reports of these have surfaced from underground joint operational facilities near Dulce, New Mexico. Is that how you pronounce it, Vanessa? Dulce?
I would guess Dulce.
Dulce, New Mexico. Dugway, Utah. Groom Lake, Nevada. Of course, that's Area 51. Deep Springs, California, and Fort Lewis, Washington. They are reportedly involved in some type of infiltration agenda. These infiltrators can appear remarkably human outwardly, however, at the same time retaining reptilian or neo-saurian internal organs. Often described as appearing bulge-eyed with scaly, hairless skin behind their disguise, one report alleged that the chameleons may utilize artificial lenses to conceal slit-pupiled iris. Some claim they are genetically bred mercenaries who are part of an advanced guard of a planned silent invasion takeover of human society. Now, I have a lot of thoughts on this. Do you guys remember that story we had of the video that was posted on YouTube about that bodyguard for President Obama?
Mm-hmm.
The shapeshifter.
Yeah, doesn't this description remind you of that?
Sure, a mercenary would be a good bodyguard.
Yeah, remember he kind of morphed for a second and then went back to his human look or whatever. I think it's one of these guys.
It could be.
Yeah. I also thought of the movie They Live. when I read this.
Except they look more like zombies, and the thing that made them look human was that device that was on top of the television station's big tower.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I also thought of V when I read this, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they were lizards underneath their disguise.
Yep.
And as we know on the TV show...
robots in disguise.
On the original TV show, it was like a rubber thing, but on the reboot TV show, it was actual skin. But that's neither here nor there because we're not talking about that. We're talking about the chameleons, the karma chameleons.
Karma.
They come and go.
But isn't this a great description? I mean, they're getting into some serious detail here.
Yeah. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah. And it sounds like there's the chameleons take care of a couple of different types. You got the reptiloids, and then you got the regular chameleons. The reptiloids seem like they're not as skilled as the chameleons because they use more technological things to mask their alien look, I guess.
Well, there's a lot of different reptiloids too. I mean, I remember in our last, not in the last one, but the previous one, they talked about different classifications of reptiloids, like sub-reptiloids, like the grays and things like that. So it's actually, there's a lot of different reptile-based alien species, it seems.
The grays are reptiloid-based?
Based on... which one? Was it the iguanoids from last week where we talked about that? I think so, that the iguanoids were kind of hostile to some of the sub-reptiloid races like the grays.
Okay. Because the grays seem like more Homo sapien, you know, warm-blooded. They look like us more than
guys.
Well,
it depends. I mean, if they got huge heads, large eyes, and, you know, 3 or 4 fingers,
Yeah, I suppose.
And the iguanoids were bipedal, you know, humanoids.
Okay. So maybe evolutionary thing going on.
Could be.
Yeah. So maybe our type of being is rare in the universe. Maybe there's more reptilian type life than there is like whatever we are.
Well, I guess it would depend on the planet and how close it is to the sun. You know, maybe if life did get on a planet that's still within the sweet spot but still a little bit closer to the sun and there isn't as much vegetation or whatnot, maybe you'd end up having, you know, a reptile-based creature that would end up evolving. And
Live underground, possibly?
Possibly. Yep.
Or in your window wells?
What you did there.
Salamanders. Did you guys collect salamanders when you were growing up?
No, I never collected salamanders, but I did try to catch horny toads as a kid.
What?
The little horny toads? They got little spikes on their back.
That must be a Texas thing.
Yeah, I think so. Horned toads. I suppose I could look up a...
horny toads.
An image to show you guys and anyone who else.
They always want to have sex.
Might be.
They're always in the mood.
They call them horny toads because they've got horns on them.
I'm joking.
So let's see. Screen share.
I had a chameleon as a pet. Named him Richard.
Richard. Was it Richard the Third?
No.
Okay.
I gave him my middle name, essentially. Okay. Richard.
Okay.
There we go.
Aw, it went away. Okay, here we go.
Oh, wow.
That's what I used to catch in that back alleyway.
That is scary looking.
They actually spit what looks like blood.
Ew.
From their eye. Not really spit. I guess it shoots out of their eyes as a defense mechanism
to
scare you away.
Ew.
It's kind of like, what is it, sea urchins that vomit out their their lungs, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
That could just freak people out with their stuff.
That's basically what the horny toads would do. But yeah, like I would, because I lived in Midland up until 5, which is out in West Texas. And yeah, you'd see these little guys running around and you would just go and, you know, try to catch one. And I never actually had one shoot blood at me, not that I remember. So apparently I wasn't too horrible
are
to
those,
the poor little guy.
Are those spikes actually hard?
Ish. I don't remember them being too horribly, like, they didn't hurt. So
they're more like,
They were rough. It could have just been like the ones that I had grabbed maybe didn't have larger.
They moisturized.
Yeah, you got to moisturize out in West Texas. It's so dry out there.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Cool. Good sidebar. Thank you, Vanessa.
You're welcome.
So that's it. That's the creature feature this week, chameleons. I would be scared if I met one of these guys in the alley. But of course, I may not know because he may be hiding his alien look.
Do they have a tail? You could totally grab them by the tail.
I'm thinking you wouldn't want to grab a reptiloid of any type by the tail. Or it could
probably
be like
not.
The chameleons that have the, you know, their defense mechanism is their tail snaps, it breaks.
Yeah.
And they can get away.
But then you could use it as evidence that.
That's right.
So in Star Trek Into Darkness, when Kirk was in bed with those two women who had the tails, was he getting a little tail or a lot of tail?
A lot of tail.
Okay. Anessa's just shaking her head. Okay.
Maybe that's more of a guy joke.
I'm sorry. Hey, women can get tail too, all right?
They can get tail too. Yeah. That is true.
Don't be all sexist about this because women are just as... what's the word I'm looking for? They're just as... They can be as much of a horny toad as men can.
Yes, they can.
Yes.
They can?
Maybe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Steve occasion. Is like, maybe?
All right, let's move on.
On that note, hey, you can listen to our stuff on Stitcher Smart Radio, can't you, Dave?
Wow, I think you're right, Brad. Tell us more.
Well, if you got a smartphone, you can get Stitcher on your smartphone. You can listen to the beauty of it is you're streaming. Yes, and multiple devices.
Tablet
too. You can
or
get
smartphone.
It on the Nook, on the iPad, on the Galaxy, on the iPhone, on your browser, as long as it's not Microsoft browser, Internet Explorer. So you can listen to us. You can listen to the Sci-Fi Film School. You can listen to time-traveling robots in space. I've heard a rumor, Dave Nelson. Is it true?
It's coming back, yeah.
Don't call it a comeback.
In July,
it's
coming back.
It's been here for years.
Yeah, it has been here for years, and it's coming back.
Excellent.
So, but in case you haven't listened to any time-traveling robots in space, you can get caught up via the Stitcher.
Stitcher?
Yeah.
Smart.
Uh-huh. And it's free, right? It's free.
Absolutely, 100%
paying
free.
No money whatsoever for this.
And you can sign up with your own free account, and you can actually create a list of favorite stations, which syncs up with your phone, or you can do that work on your phone, and it syncs up on the Internet. So you could, if you do listen on both your browser and your smart device, you can sync up. If you pause on one device, you can listen to the podcast that you were listening to on another device.
Okay,
and
I'm gonna pick up
where you left off.
I'm going to give you a scenario. Okay, you're out for a walk. Maybe you're jogging, going for a bike ride. You've got your earbuds in. You're listening to the latest alien invasion on your phone. All right? And you get home. You're like, you know what? I'm going to sit at the computer, do a little work for a while. Let's pick up where I left off. You open your browser. There it is, your show, exactly where you left off. No having to start one and kept finding the place where you left off. No, it's synced automatically. As long as you're signed into both, they're syncing. It's a whole synchronization thing. So
synchronicity?
Yeah, synchronicity. Sorry. I was trying to do Synchronicity 2, the police.
Ah, okay.
Didn't really work out too well. All right, so again, Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcasts. Enter the promo code GalacticNetcasts, and we thank Stitcher for their support of the Alien Invasion podcast. All right, time for picks, and is this true, Anessa? You watched The Arrival?
No, I actually didn't watch The Arrival. I just decided to type it in the doc.
Oh, okay.
Boom.
You're being a smartass. You're being sarcastic. I can tell.
Yes.
This is.
Yes, I did watch The Arrival.
Is this the one with
Charlie Sheen?
Charlie Sheen, okay.
Yes. So yeah, as Dave mentioned, The Arrival stars Charlie Sheen. It is, Charlie Sheen plays a telescope operator named Zeminsky. I don't remember his first name. I think it was Zane Zeminsky, because you need more Z's. And so he's doing research, trying to collect data, and he ends up picking a series of signals that from outer space. And but before they can actually go through their verification process, the signal drops. But he's got a recording of the signal before he loses it and tries to take it to his higher-ups, which end up firing him from his job. And so he basically becomes obsessed with trying to find the signal again. But while he's trying to find the signal again, he ends up discovering another signal, and this one's actually being transmitted from Earth. And so he goes on his quest to figure out where the signal is being sent from. And yeah, he ends up encountering aliens. I think one thing that kind of, like, this movie itself was okay. I wasn't impressed, but I didn't absolutely hate it. But the movie's called The Arrival, and spoiler, they're already here. So nothing arrived, unless you're talking about the signal, maybe? The signal.
Or they were already here, and we didn't know, and then that means it's an arrival.
Well, if they're already here, then they didn't arrive. They're already here.
Well, maybe they're talking about Charlie.
It just, like, really bothered me. The aliens, they basically have this technology that cloaks themselves into a human form. But apparently the way the aliens run naturally is their legs bend in the opposite direction at the knees. And it just seems like a really inefficient way to run. It works out really well if you want them to jump, but yeah, running
well,
wise.
Well, it works for deer.
Yeah.
Rabbits.
But you've got, like, the thing with deer and rabbits is you have all four legs.
That's
but
true.
But if you're running on your hind legs, it's not very efficient.
Maybe they're very stretchy.
And it's like when you see the aliens running with their native stance,
yeah,
then
it doesn't look good at all.
It looks really awkward, and it just seems really inefficient. Now, if they had gotten down on all fours to run, that would have worked out much better. But, yeah, it was just kind of a hokey movie. The acting wasn't really that great. There was a really creepy scene with scorpions in it.
They
weren't, like, tiny little scorpions. They were, like, big scorpions, like the size of a playing card or bigger. And that was really creepy, but then that could have also been because I got stung by a scorpion as a kid. So
did you get flashbacks?
No, I didn't get flashbacks. I just thought they were really creepy looking. Because, yeah, the aliens try to hide the scorpions. Another spoiler, I suppose. But, yeah, the aliens hide the scorpions, and one of the places they hide the scorpions is, like, on each blade of a ceiling fan. So when you turn on the ceiling fan, the scorpions, like, fly off into different directions.
It's very detailed. Like, they're very,
very detailed.
Very specific.
They're very thorough aliens at creeping people out. They do a very good job of that when it comes to handling scorpions.
They're like pranks. But it's almost like pranks. Let's prank the humans with these scorpions.
Let's prank the humans with scorpions. I would rather if an alien was going to prank me, that they would stick with like the little Slinky snake in a can, or whoopee cushion.
Yeah, whoopee cushion. Yeah.
Little flower that squirts water, buzzer in the hand.
There's, yeah, tons
stick
of
stick of gum that you pull out, and it's actually a little trap that gets your thumb. Something like that.
Yeah.
Scorpions, not so much.
Unless they were rubber scorpions.
Unless they were rubber scorpions. And then you could, you know, freak out and scream and cry, and then you can laugh about it later. But real life scorpions, no.
Those aliens, they're such a card. They're always playing jokes.
So, yeah, and so Zeminski's basically trying to figure out what's going on and why the aliens are here. So that's pretty much the movie. It came out in 1996. It's an hour and 55 minutes long, so basically 2 hours. It was directed by David Twohy. I don't know who that is.
I've heard of that guy.
And yeah, like apparently critics dug it on Rotten Tomato, and the audience, it was 41% liked it. So
why can't,
it was terrible.
Why can't we all get along? Why do the critics and the audiences never match up?
So they do once in a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like either the audience really loved it and the critics hated it, or the critics liked it and the audience was like, "Eh, it sucked." So
it was like visually being kicked in the crotch watching that film.
So yeah, although the really giant radio dish was cool.
Yeah, how was the science in this? Was it pretty accurate?
Eh, like they would talk about the location of the star and they would toss out like right ascension and declination, and basically that's coordinates in the sky where you can find objects, and so they did stick with that, which makes sense. But aside from that, like there's also a bit of talk about global warming, because there's another scientist that notices another pattern. And so she's gone to investigate as well in the same area that Charlie Sheen ends up. So, yeah, I mean, there wasn't like a ton of science to really criticize it too much. And I wasn't really that nitpicky. I really hate being the person that was like, that's bad science. Unless I seem to be pickier if it's related to like geography or geology.
Weird.
So I can't, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the movie, the volcano movie with Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, Dante's Peak?
Yes, like that movie. For some reason, out of that whole thing, the part that I remember is they're driving around, like driving away from the volcano, and there's like this big cloud behind them, and like the lady's going, "What is that?" And Pierce Brosnan's like, "It's a pyroclastic cloud," because everyone knows what pyroclastic means.
What does it mean?
It's basically a cloud made from like cinders and ash and fire. So
cinders, ash, and fire. Interesting. That doesn't sound fun at all.
It's like it's not a pleasant cloud to be around. But yeah, and then you get things like the core and a ship made of unobtainium that can somehow withstand all the heat and pressure down at the Earth's core, and then you drop a nuclear bomb, spoilers, to reactivate the Earth's core. Things like that bug me.
Yeah.
But the other stuff, I'm like, so this person can fly, that's fine, no big deal. They can defy gravity, the laws of physics, no big deal.
You're picking your battles there, Anessa.
I am. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, The Arrival. That was my pick.
All right, cool. Say, Brad, do you want to go first? So in case you have to leave, we can end without you. Do you want to do?
The other show starts in about 17 minutes, so I've
okay,
got time.
Plenty of time. All right. So my pick is Alive in Joburg. I'm not sure if that's the right pronunciation.
Joburg for Johannesburg.
Joburg, okay.
Short.
It is the 2005 short film directed by Neil Blomkamp and produced by Charlotte Copley, and Simon Hansen, which became the basis for the full-length feature film District 9. Did you guys know that that was a short film before it was a feature film?
I did. I saw the short film before the feature film. Whoa. I was a hipster about that.
Look at you. Look at you go.
Put on your hipster glasses. Oh, yeah. Wait, they're on.
Oh, wait. I do have my plastic frames on.
So, yeah. It's my pick. The film explores themes of apartheid and is noted for its visual effects as well as its documentary style imagery, exactly the same as the movie. There are slight differences, and the movie is has better effects, obviously. And it's just kind of a short version of the film. It doesn't go into as much story as the full-length movie did.
No, but it was still really well done.
Yeah.
So if people haven't seen it, I think they should definitely check it out.
Yes. If you haven't seen District 9... maybe watch this before that and then watch District 9.
Okay. Yeah, I saw District 9. I didn't see this. And District 9 is such a phenomenal film.
Yeah.
Just, wow.
So,
what's the movie?
Totally check this out.
What's the movie that Neil Blomkamp is doing now? It's
available on the internet.
Okay. Yeah, go research that, please. Because he's doing a film, and then Charlotte Copley, he's the guy that became, spoiler, he's the cop from District 9, right? He's the actor, correct? Charlotte Copley?
Oh, sorry, I was trying to find out.
It's okay.
Well, so the answer to the other question was Elysium?
Oh, okay, yeah. Duh. All right.
So...
yeah, and Charlotte Copley is the actor who played the main character in District 9. He's in that Europa movie.
He's in a lot of stuff. Trying to remember what else he's in.
He doesn't look at all like his character from District 9 in the publicity stills I'm looking at.
Who's that again?
Charlotte Copley.
He's also going to be in Elysium.
Oh, wow. Holy crap. Okay. Yep. Neat.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, check it out. We'll put the link in the show notes of the podcast.
Oh, he was in the A-Team.
Yeah, he was Murdoch.
Really?
Yep.
I had no idea. That's interesting.
That's a good popcorn movie to watch. I mean, if you love the A-Team, and A-Team was running through your head pre-show.
Yeah, it was. The theme.
Yeah, it was kind of fun, and a number of nods to the original TV show.
Yeah,
so.
I haven't seen the movie. Maybe I should watch it one of these days.
I haven't seen it either.
If it gets on Netflix, I will. Definitely. All right, so that's my pick. Check it out. It's short. It's like 9 minutes, so plenty. You'll have enough time the rest of your day to do whatever you got to do. All right, let's talk Man of Steel.
Woo!
That was my surprise pick for today. It was Man of Steel. It is an alien film. It's Superman. Superman is... he's an alien from another planet. Spoilers.
And let me just say, compared to, and you may cover this more, and that's okay, compared to other Superman films, this is heavy on the alien, heavy on the space stuff.
Yeah. You know, the main thing that's always been talked about in the films has been his life in Smallville, in Kansas. So it was really kind of interesting to get a very good view as a movie watcher. I mean, I read World of Krypton, so I kind of knew a little bit more about that, remembered a bit more about it. But Krypton is an old society. It's a society where people didn't have babies the way we do. They were genetically engineered, essentially, to, you know, you had your different bloodlines for the different families on Krypton, but each family had something that they did, warrior, you know, artisan. They fulfilled a purpose on Krypton. And Jor-El and his wife Laura decided to actually have a real live baby the old-fashioned way, which was considered heresy. because real live babies have not been born that way in centuries. So, yeah, so we learn a little bit more about Kal-El, the more alien aspect of Superman.
Well, Brad, before you go any further, do we want to do a spoiler alert? Do we want to tell people to stop listening if they haven't seen Man of Steel? Are you gonna reveal?
Yeah, I guess if you haven't seen Man of Steel, stop listening now.
Yeah, good thing that this is the very last thing we're going to cover. So
yeah, I'm going to try to be brief and not give away too many things. The movie really explores the choice that he needs to make. Who is he? What kind of? He's obviously different. He's obviously something more than the humans on Earth, and he needs to kind of make a choice as to who he's going to be and how he's going to be, and what he's going to do with his abilities. So the movie was all about identity, about making a choice. So it was really kind of fascinating because for the first time also, Lois Lane is in on the deal. She knows that who he is and knows that he's an alien. They don't even bother with the, oh, he's wearing glasses. I don't possibly know, even though I hang out with him all the time. Crap. No, that's been ditched. And I think rightfully so. It was always, you know, I remember seeing the Donner film going, gosh, she's so stupid, you know, for being a Pulitzer Prize winning person that catches every little detail. You put glasses on a dude and she's completely blind to who he is. That's just dumb.
It's going
to
be interesting. It's going to be interesting the sequel, because he at the spoiler, super spoiler, at the end, he goes to work at the Daily Planet. Mm-hmm. And Lois knows who he is already. But nobody else does, because I was thinking about this. Nobody really saw his face except for the military and the people that were up close to his Superman being in action. So the people of the Daily Planet have no idea who he is, really.
Yeah. So so that's kind of interesting. You know, a lot of flack has been given to the amount of damage. I mean, this is an epic battle. This is a planetary battle. It's a battle for Earth. So people were like, oh, Smallville, that must have cost hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, yes, it did. But you've got a whole group of people that have a lot of power that he's fighting, and they don't care about people at all. And even if Superman did try to, you know, move the fight to somewhere else, they would just take it back there. So, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that was going to happen. And if you don't believe that, you're a fool.
And you didn't really cover who he's fighting. It's General Zod.
Yes. One of the things that they did keep, like, from the classic film is that General Zod and his people have been essentially banished to the Phantom Zone. And when Krypton is destroyed, they are released, and it takes them a long time to try to find where Kal-El is. Cause he's got something that they need, and, I don't want to give that away. So again, it was all about identity. It was all about trying to figure out who you're going to be and the sacrifices that you have to make to be the person that you want to be, that you should be. So it's very, very interesting, very, very humbling to watch, because he has to make some horrible choices as Superman. The other thing too, this movie's been given a lot of flack for being incredibly dark. If you have a problem with that, you're not reading DC Comics at all lately. You haven't picked up a DC comic in over 3 years. So, you know, that's shame on you.
And not only that, if they just took the time to see who was directing it and producing it, that should also give them a heads up, because Snyder and Nolan aren't exactly known for happy-go-lucky movies.
Well, yeah, you look at Watchmen.
Yeah.
Dark.
300.
Dark.
Dark. Inception. Certainly not
dark.
Happy.
And looking at the comics in DC's world right now, I mean, things have gotten dark again. We've kind of gone back to the early 90s of, you know, everybody's got blood in their name and all this crap. It's gotten darker. And comics tend to reflect the world around us. I mean, we're so afraid of terrorism, rightly so. But things have really kind of taken a negative turn. You know, politics has taken a negative turn. You know, the relations with other countries seems to have taken a darker turn. We're in a dark place right now. So this movie is just reflecting that tone. So I don't think it's inappropriate at all. So
one of the complaints is that he wasn't saving the humans. Well, he took the battle with Zod to Metropolis, right? And they're smashing the buildings, all kinds of damage.
Well, yeah, like I was saying, though, the Kryptonians that were there didn't care. They wanted to destroy humans anyway.
Yeah.
There was no way, even if he would have, like I said, even if he would have pulled Zod and the others away from Metropolis, they would have come back.
Yeah.
One, their world crusher is on the other side of the planet, so their ship has to be there. Two, Metropolis is a very large place in the DC universe. It's one of the largest cities in the United States. It kind of makes sense if you don't care about humanity and you want to kill humanity, why not start at the place where you're going to do the most damage, terraforming the planet to begin with.
I wonder if they're going to touch on that in the sequel, like his remorse for not saving enough humans in this battle. You know, I wonder if that's going to be make him more of a trying to save everybody type Superman, you know, like the traditional Superman.
I don't know. That's interesting conjecture. That'd be interesting to see. I guess time will tell on that one.
Yeah.
He had to make a terrible choice with Zod, and he was more broken up about that.
Yeah. And he didn't want to kill him. Like at the end, he was pissed off. He was mad that he had to kill him.
But this all kind of comes down to choices. He had to make a choice of the kind of man that he was going to be. And there was, he saw, you know, listening to everything that the construct of his father said, Jor-El, his alien father, all of his flashback memories that we've seen of Pa Kent. That's the only way that really could have ended,
mm-hmm.
You know, the hope that humanity has, restoring Krypton, but the lessons that Kal-El had to learn or has to learn before he can restore Krypton are going to be key to making a new Krypton somewhere else and making the Kryptonians more human. It's something that they lost along the way because they were an ancient civilization. So anyways,
did you know that
an extensive review of Man of Steel, but I highly recommend people see it. If you think you're going to get puppies and kittens, you're sadly mistaken, and shame on you for thinking
oh,
so.
Come on. I wanted puppies and kittens in my superhero film.
Well, there is a dog. I mean,
that's true.
They got that.
Yeah.
And it does get saved. So there you go.
Did you catch a lot of the, I was going to say rabbit holes, but that's not it.
Easter eggs,
yeah.
I caught. I was really kind of paying attention more to the character stuff. I would watch it again to look for all the Easter eggs. You know, I did see the tanker cars had LexCorp on them.
Yep.
I saw that.
There was a Wayne Industries sign too, or something. I heard.
Yeah, I heard about that. There's a character called Beppo in there, which I thought I heard Beppo. I'd have to take a look at that. And he's actually in the comics. He was Superman's friend. He's this rough and tumble guy. He's the jerk that you see in the movie that his semi gets destroyed.
Okay.
Because he dumps the beer on his head. It's that guy. So.
And then.
Anyways.
And then there was. I think there was a shop in Smallville that was named for the character that was made for the TV show Smallville that she never appeared.
Chloe Sullivan's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sullivan's.
Yep. Sullivan's. Yep. Then God, there was something else too. I forget. Oh, his friend.
Pete Ross.
Yeah. A lot of people think that he was originally an African-American guy, but it is not. He was white.
Pete Ross was actually a skinny, blonde-haired white dude.
Yeah.
who actually in the original comics, not the comics now, ended up becoming the president of the United States.
Oh, wow. Spoiler.
Well, they've destroyed that DC universe and created a new one, which is a darker place, which I was saying before. So.
Okay. So, does this live up to your Superman in your head, Brad?
The DC universe has changed so many times. I mean, in the time that the Donner film was made, soon after they did Crisis on Infinite Earths and completely rebooted the DC universe, then they had Zero Hour, rebooted part of the universe again, and now they've had this 52 event a few years ago. They rebooted the universe again. The Donner Superman never really existed. So, I mean, knowing what I know about comics, what you your perceived notions of what a superhero character is going to be is kind of foolish. It's going to change.
So you're not
it
a,
changes
you're,
with the times.
You're not a traditionalist. You're not pissed off that he was changed so much. The story was changed so much.
You know, a number of years ago, I think I would have, but you know, seeing how you know that the changing of writers, the changing of universes over time, you can't really be upset that your character has changed because in the comics they change all the time.
Okay.
You get a new writer on a book, it changes the direction of a character, and you know, you go to a different place. So, I mean, Batman at a certain point got incredibly dark. After Batman had his back broken, somebody else took his place, and he ended up killing somebody, the replacement Batman. So, I mean, that was, you know, it depends on who's writing it. It depends on what's happening at the time.
That's what's great about comics. They can just twist things around and change things and reboot it, and it's awesome.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Good point. All right, there you go. Our picks, Man of Steel, Alive in Joburg, and The Arrival. We will put one of these picks on our picks page at galacticnetcasts.com. Man of Steel, not quite yet. It's still in theaters. And my pick's a YouTube video, so you can get that for free on YouTube. But we encourage you to check out The Arrival if you're interested. On the store link at galacticnetcasts.com, and any purchases through that, you'll be helping our network financially. And while you're in the store, you might as well go over there and buy yourself a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or a mouse pad or any number of items with our logo on it.
The clock.
There's a clock, yes. So check it out, the store.
Speaking of.
At galacticnetcast.com. We got to run. Don't forget to subscribe to us via iTunes or via Stitcher or via any other podcasting thing. Outlet. Podcasting outlet. Well, I don't know what the right term for it is. Where your finer podcasts are made available, I guess. And iTunes, leave us a review and leave us 5 stars. We appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. And the voicemail number, again, is 805-328-3966. All right, guys, before we go, final thoughts. Bradley.
Final thoughts? I'm looking forward to Pacific Rim, ooh, which is going to be aliens from underwater.
Yes.
That appear through a rift.
I might be seeing that in Canada because it comes out the weekend that I leave. So might be seeing that north of the border, eh?
Are they going to subtitle it? Just kidding.
All right. Final thoughts, Anessa. What do you got? Go.
An empty bladder is a happy bladder.
And I'm guessing that yours is full right now and you need to go?
It is.
Okay. All right. That's going to do it for this Galactic Netcast, the Alien Invasion number 73. Anessa has to pee, so...
we're out.
Yeah, we're out. We'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, Dave.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.